You are listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Monarch, and this is The Butterfly Effect, from a spark to flame. Welcome to this episode of The Butterfly Effect. The Butterfly Effect is an idea that is commonly used in chaos theory. We are going to be discussing how a small change can make much bigger changes happen, and how one small incident can have a big impact on the future. A show about how a small change can have a much larger impact on our future. On today's episode of The Butterfly Effect, we are going to be discussing poverty in the United States of America and the outcomes of being poor in the United States of America. As I do in every episode of The Butterfly Effect, I have to give you some statistics. I know, more numbers, but please bear with me. These numbers are extremely important. 12,880, 17,420, 21,960, 26,500, 31,040, 35,580, 40,120, and 44,660. You may be wondering, why did I just read you a random stream of numbers? But these numbers are not random. Let's now put the word dollar. $12,880 is the federal poverty line for a one-person household. $17,420 is the federal poverty line for a two-person household. $21,960 is the federal poverty line for a family of three. $26,500 is the federal poverty line for a family of four. And $31,040 is the federal poverty line for a family of five. $35,580 is the federal poverty line for a family of six. $40,120 is the federal poverty line for a family of seven. And $44,660 is the federal poverty line for a family of eight. Then, with families with more than eight people, $4,540 is added for each additional member of that family. You may be wondering where these numbers come from, because they're oddly specific. Well, they come from a formula that was established in the mid-1960s. This formula has not changed or been updated now that we're in 2021. However, each year the threshold for poverty is updated based on inflation. This formula that was created in the 1960s was developed for the Social Security Administration. The formula identified how much it costs to feed a family of four or five or six or one or two or three based on average food prices or standard items like basic necessities. Poverty is defined as the state of being extremely poor. But in the United States of America, poverty also defines your status in society and your access to resources. In the year 2018, 38.1 million people lived in poverty in the United States of America. That means for the year 2018, the poverty rate was 11.8%. So you may be wondering, who exactly lives in poverty? Well, this is where those numbers I told you a minute ago come in handy. all of those living below the federal government's official poverty threshold qualify as living in poverty. And what's even more devastating is 5.3% of the population, which is about 17.3 million people, don't only live in poverty, but they live in deep poverty, which means their incomes are below 50% of their poverty threshold. While 5.3% of the population lives in deep poverty, about 29.9% of the population, which is about 93.6 million people, live close to the poverty line, which means their income is less than two times of that threshold for poverty. However, poverty does not target all demographics equally. And this would not be the butterfly effect unless I gave you some more data to back up my claim. So according to PovertyUSA.org, quote, in 2018, 10.6% of men and 12.9% of women lived in poverty in the United States of America. Along the same lines, the poverty rate for married couples in 2018 was 4.7%. But the poverty rate for single-parent families with no wife present was 12.7%, and single-parent families with no husband present was 24.9%. So from the data, we know poverty affects women more than men with a rate of 12.9% compared to 10.6%, and affects single-parent families with no husband present at 24.9%. And the poverty rate for those living with disabilities in 2018 was 25.7%. That's about 4 million people living with a disability in poverty. Those also disproportionately affected by poverty are people of color. According to the 2018 United States Census data, quote, the highest poverty rate by race is found among Native Americans, which was 25.4%, with African Americans, which was 20.8%, having the second highest poverty rate, and Hispanics of any race having the third highest poverty rate at 17.6%. Whites had a poverty rate of 10.1%, while Asians had a poverty rate at 10.1%. So that clearly shows there's a drastic difference of poverty rates based on race. About 76.8% of men worked full-time year-round, and 63.9% of women worked full-time year-round. However, women are victim of wage theft. In 2018, women who worked full-time year-round earned only 81.6% of what men working full-time year-round earned. So, it is not a problem of just work harder and you'll make more money. No, you're wrong. People are trying. Do not blame the people, blame the system that is failing them. This data clearly contradicts the harmful narrative of the American dream. The American dream is a harmful narrative. The American dream tells us that anyone who works hard can climb a ladder to success. Even though our society says anyone can work hard and make it to the top, the truth is that white Americans are born with a level of privilege that even the hardest working person of color will never be able to achieve. Privilege is an advantage granted only to a particular group, and while others find it impossible to move up the ladder to prosperity. As an African American, I grew up hearing that employment discrimination was obvious because Black people have twice the unemployment rate of white people. According to the University of Michigan's Poverty Solutions Sector, quote, in the late 1950s, the poverty rate for all Americans was 22.4%, or 39.5 million people. These numbers declined steadily through the 1960s, reaching a low of 11.1%, or 22.9 million people. In 1973, over the next decade, the poverty rate fluctuated between 11.1%, and 12.6%. But it began to rise steadily again in 1980. By 1983, the number of poor individuals had risen to 35.3 million individuals, or 15.2%. For the next 10 years, the poverty rate remained above 12.8%, increasing to 15.1%, or 39.3 million individuals by the year 1993. The rate declined for the remainder of the decade to 11.3% by 2000. The poverty rate rose each year through 2004 when it reached 12.8% and then continued to increase, peaking at 15.1% in 2010, the highest poverty rate since 1993. The poverty rate has remained relentlessly stable between 2010 and 2014. Between 2014 and 2017, it declined 2.5 percentage points to 12.3%. However, from 2017 to 2018, the rate increased 0.8 percentage points to be 13.1%. Since the late 1960s, the poverty rate for those people older than 65 has fallen dramatically. The poverty rate for children has historically been somewhat higher than the overall poverty rate. The poverty rate for people in households headed by single women is significantly higher than the overall poverty rate. In 2018, children were heavily affected by poverty. 16.2% of all children, which is about 11.9 million children, lived in poverty, which translates to about one in every six child lived in poverty. Now let's fast forward to 2019. In 2019, 21.2% of Black people lived in poverty. 17.2% of Hispanic people lived in poverty. 9.6% of Asian people lived in poverty, while 9.0% of non-Hispanic white people lived in poverty. Remember when earlier I said in 2018 that from the data we know poverty affects women more than men with a rate of 12.9 to 10.6% and single parent families with no husband present at 24.9%? Well, this remained true in 2019. 33.5% of households headed by single women were poor and were more likely to be poor if the head of household was Black or Hispanic. 16.2% of households headed by single men lived in poverty, and 5.7% of married couple households lived in poverty. These numbers are daunting and horrific, but this is not the only thing people who live in poverty face. Those living in poverty are faced with many challenges and barriers. If you are living in poverty, it is likely difficult to afford basic necessities. Basic necessities like food, housing, and even healthcare. Poverty can also be concentrated in particular neighborhoods, which can cause crime rates to be higher, less educational opportunities, and even less job opportunities, which makes it difficult to achieve the so-called American dream. If you're born at a disadvantage, how are you expected to climb this so-called ladder to prosperity? Around the United States of America, about 9.6% of the 43.5 million people living below the poverty line also lived in poverty-concentrated neighborhoods. After the break, I'm going to give you some examples of concentrated poverty in the United States of America. You are listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Monarch, from A Spark to a Flame. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this episode of The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. Once again, I am your host, DJ Monarch. On today's episode, we have been discussing poverty in America. I will now be giving you a few examples of concentrated poverty in particular cities in the United States of America. To start off, in Mobile, Alabama, they have a concentrated poverty rate of 19.7% of the poor population. In Mobile, Alabama, African Americans are more likely to be affected by extreme poverty than any other group. All other residents living in the neighborhoods, where 40% more residents live in poverty, 86% of them are Black. In the Phoenix, Mesa, Scottsdale, Arizona area, they have a concentrated poverty rate of 13.8% of the poor population. In Phoenix, Mesa, Scottsdale, Arizona, the overall poverty rate is 14.6%. 49 out of the 975 neighborhoods in the Phoenix, Mesa, Scottsdale, Arizona area are concentrated poverty. According to the census, the Phoenix, Mesa, Scottsdale, Arizona's unemployment rate was about 8.5% in poor neighborhoods and 5.5% in all other neighborhoods. Here's an example a little bit closer to home, near Dominican University of California. In Fresno, California, the concentrated poverty rate is 33.2% of the poor population live in poor neighborhoods. In Fresno, California, the overall poverty rate is 24.1%. 35 out of the 198 neighborhoods in Fresno, California have concentrated poverty. According to the census, the unemployment rate in Fresno, California is about 14.5% in poor neighborhoods and 8.5% in all other neighborhoods. In Pueblo, Colorado, the concentrated poverty rate is 9.3% of poor populations living in poor neighborhoods, while the overall poverty rate in Pueblo, California is 18.9%. 3 out of 53 neighborhoods in Pueblo, Colorado are concentrated with poverty. According to the census, the unemployment rate in Pueblo, Colorado was 16.1% in poor neighborhoods and 8.1% in all other neighborhoods. So, the unemployment rate was nearly double in poor neighborhoods than in other neighborhoods in Pueblo, Colorado. Hartford West, Hartford East, Hartford, Connecticut's poverty rate, 9.2% of the poor population live in neighborhoods. Overall poverty rate was about 10%, and neighborhoods with concentrated poverty were 9 out of 283. According to the census, the unemployment rate was 17% in poor neighborhoods and 5.9% in all other neighborhoods. In Tallahassee, Florida, the concentrated poverty rate was 16.7% of the poor population living in poor neighborhoods, the overall poverty rate being 15.7%. 6 out of the 75 neighborhoods were concentrated with poverty. According to the census, 18% in poor neighborhoods were unemployed, while 5.9% in all other neighborhoods were unemployed. Albany, Georgia. The concentrated poverty rate was 38.2% of poor populations living in poor neighborhoods, with an overall poverty rate of 25.2%. 9 out of 43 neighborhoods in Albany, Georgia were concentrated with poverty. And according to the census, the unemployment rate was 21.4% in poor neighborhoods and 9.2% of unemployment in all other neighborhoods. In Springfield, Illinois, the concentrated poverty rate is 23.8% of the poor population living in poor neighborhoods, with an overall poverty rate of 14.9%. 7 out of 56 neighborhoods are with concentrated poverty. And according to the census, 12.3% in poor neighborhoods are unemployed, while 5.8% in all other neighborhoods are unemployed. In Muncie, Indiana, the concentrated poverty rate is 29.5% of poor people living in poor neighborhoods, with an overall poverty rate of 18.4% in Muncie, Indiana. 6 out of 27 neighborhoods in Muncie, Indiana are concentrated with poverty. And according to the census, 13% are unemployed in poor neighborhoods, while 5.7% are unemployed in all other neighborhoods. Muncie, Indiana's African American communities are disproportionately affected by economic segregation. Only 6.9% of Muncie's residents are African American. However, nearly one-third of residents of the low-income communities in Muncie, Indiana are African American. In Bowling Green, Kentucky, the concentrated poverty rate is 15.4% of the poor population living in poverty. Overall poverty rate of Bowling Green, Kentucky is 17.7%. And neighborhoods with concentrated poverty are 3 out of 37. And according to the census, 6.7% are unemployed in poor neighborhoods, while 4.8% are unemployed in all other neighborhoods. In Monroe, Louisiana, the concentrated poverty rate is 34.6% of poor population living in poor neighborhoods. And the overall poverty rate of Monroe, Louisiana is 23.1%. These neighborhoods with concentrated poverty rates are 10 out of 44. And according to the census, 14.9% in poor neighborhoods are unemployed, while 5.5% are unemployed in all other neighborhoods. Monroe, Louisiana specifically, is one of the poorest cities and one of the poorest states in the United States. About 23% of residents in Monroe, Louisiana live below the poverty line. The barriers of poverty make it nearly impossible to reach economic prosperity in America. And I can go on and give you more examples in each state, but you get the idea. After the break, we're going to be discussing some more barriers those in poverty face on a day-to-day basis. You are listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Monarch. From a spark to a flame. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this episode of The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. Once again, I am your host, DJ Monarch. On today's episode, we have been discussing poverty in the United States of America and its widespread effect. Another issue those living in poverty face is food insecurity. For those of you who are not familiar with the food insecurity is defined as the distribution of food intake or eating patterns because of lack of money and other resources. According to the USDA, 11.1% of United States households were food insecure in the year 2018, which is about 14.3 million households, which means 14.3 million households had difficulty providing enough food for all the members of their family to be able to eat due to lack of resources. Let's just take a minute. Can you imagine not being able to feed your entire family? Food insecurity rates were higher than the national average for households with incomes near or below the federal poverty line. In the year 2014, 17.4 million United States households faced food insecurity at some point during the year 2014. Food insecurity does not cause hunger, but hunger is a possibility because of food insecurity. Then, in the year 2016, 31.6% of low-income households faced food insecurity. The national average of 2016 was 12.3%. Race is a huge factor in food insecurity. In the year 2016, Black non-Hispanic households were nearly twice as likely to be food insecure. Black non-Hispanic households' rate of food insecurity was 22.5% compared to the national average, which was 12.3%. Then Hispanic households' rate of food insecurity was 18.5% compared to the national average, which was 12.3%. Food insecurity is also linked to not having proper access to food. Communities that do not have access to affordable nutritionist foods are called food deserts. Some urban areas, rural areas, and low-income areas may have very few options or no options of grocery stores at all. Quote, a study in Detroit found that people living in low-income, predominantly Black neighborhoods travel an average of 1.1 miles farther to the closest supermarket than people living in low-income, predominantly White neighborhoods. Not having access to healthy foods can have a plethora of issues, including major health problems, which then lead to the issue of not having proper health care because of lack of resources as well. Serious health complications can arise, especially when people are facing hunger and they're forced to choose between spending money on food, medicine, or medical care. Along with health issues, not having access to proper affordable nutrition can prevent a child's ability to learn and grow. Now, let me tell you a little bit about children living in poverty in the United States of America. 11 million children in the United States of America are living in poverty. 11 million. That means 1 in 7 kids in the United States of America are living in poverty. And 4 in 10 children live in a household struggling to make ends meet and pay for basic necessities such as food. Between 7 million and 11 million children live in a household where they can't eat enough food because they simply cannot afford it. Think about how you feel when you miss a meal. Now think about how that may affect a child and if they miss multiple meals simply because they cannot afford to put food on the table. As of 2019, 14.4% of all children under the age of 18 in the United States of America were living below the official poverty line. 6% of those children were not only experiencing poverty, but were experiencing deep poverty. African American children make up more than 1/4 of all of the children living below the poverty line in the United States of America. African American and American Indian children are 7 times more likely than their white counterparts to live in neighborhoods with concentrated poverty. Children living in poverty are more likely to deal with housing instability. More than 1/4 of these children experience an eviction before the age of 15. These horrifying statistics on children in poverty are just scratching the surface of the issues of poverty in the United States of America. We need to fix this. After the break, we will be finishing our discussion on poverty in the United States of America, and we'll also be talking about how COVID has exacerbated poverty in the United States of America. You are listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Monarch. From a spark to flame, stick with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this episode of The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. Once again, I am your host, DJ Monarch. On today's episode, we have been discussing poverty in the United States of America and poverty's widespread effects and who is most likely to experience poverty here in the United States of America. Economist Bruce Meyer from the University of Chicago and James Sullivan from the University of Notre Dame conducted a study which findings were that, quote, the poverty rate increased by 2.4 percentage points during the latter half of 2020, as the U.S. continued to suffer the economic impacts from COVID-19, the poverty rate for Black Americans is estimated to have jumped by 5.4 percentage points. African Americans have been about three times as likely to be as poor as white Americans for the past 60 years. A low-income African American is about three times more likely to live in a poor neighborhood than a low-income white American. According to Bloomberg.com, here, now, currently, in 2021, there are currently more impoverished communities in the United States of America's metropolitan areas than over the past four decades. And the communities that were already impoverished, yeah, they're even poorer. Researchers Keenan Frick and August Benzow used poverty data from the U.S. Census Bureau between the years 1980 and 2018. This revealed the disparities of poverty throughout the United States. The official poverty measure was created in 1964 when President Lyndon Johnson declared a war on poverty. This is a war that we are continuing to battle today. Keenan Firk and August Benzow's study broke neighborhoods down into four distinct categories. Okay, the categories are the first one being and consisting of the newly poor. The newly poor, which was a community that went from low poverty, which was about fewer than 20% of individuals living below the poverty line, to high poverty, which was defined as 30% or more in the neighborhood living in poverty during a particular time frame. Okay, then the second category consisted of the persistently poor. So when a community remained in high poverty during a particular time frame, so not really a change. And then the third category consisted of deepening poverty. So when the rates was between 20% and 30% in 1980 and climbed above 30% by 2018. And then the fourth and last category consisted of the turnaround cases. So a turnaround case is when a neighborhood moved from a high poverty rate to a low one. Keenan Firk and August Benzow's study found that, quote, the gap in median income between high and low poverty neighborhoods increased significantly during the 38 years of the study. To high poverty neighborhoods went from a $25,000 to a $29,000 in median house income, and low poverty neighborhoods from $65,000 to $79,000 in median household income. They also found that back in the 1980s, there were far more mixed income neighborhoods. But moving to 2018, we were seeing that America segregates more by income. So the number of poor neighborhoods was simply growing as the number of impoverished people in America was growing as well. From this, we've learned that your zip code serves as an anchor for you. This anchor ties you to poverty. Your zip code determines your access to food, your access to proper health care, your access to jobs, and your access to educational opportunities. However, the zip code you're born with is solely based on your race or your ethnicity. It is extremely easy to believe that poverty is something that may not directly affect you, especially if you do not personally see the effects of poverty on a day-to-day basis. So I'm going to give you a closer look and let's talk about something a little bit closer to home. Here in the state of California. California has the highest levels of functional poverty in the United States of America. And this is according to the United States Census Bureau data. The Census Bureau data reported, quote, that of California's roughly 40 million residents, an average of 18.2% have been impoverished during the three preceding years. Slightly more than 36% of California's residents are at one of or near the poverty level, more than one third of its population. The highest cost of housing has emerged as a threat to California's future, the Public Policy Institute of California says. Many Californians see homelessness and housing costs as the state's most important challenge, according to a 2019 statewide survey. California's median household income is about $63,179, and about one third of people living in California earn less than $15 an hour. According to the California's Associate of Realtors, in the third quarter of 2019, only 31% of California households could afford to buy a median priced home. And the Public Policy Institute of California says California has the second highest homelessness rate in the nation. And California ranks near the top in cost burden households, second among homeowners and third among renters. Before coming to California for college at Dominican University of California, I was unaware of all of the widespread poverty California faces. Okay, so once again, I gave you a lot of data and a lot of information to process. Okay, so let's debrief a little bit on what we have learned for today on the butterfly effect. First off, we learned $12,880 is the federal poverty line for a one-person household. $17,420 is the federal poverty line for a two-person household. $21,960 is the federal poverty line for a family of three. $26,500 is the federal poverty line for a family of four. $31,040 is the federal poverty line for a family of five. $35,580 is the federal poverty line for a family of six. And $40,120 is the federal poverty line for a family of seven. While $44,660 is the federal poverty line for a family of eight. So a lot of information, but it's important for us to understand what is considered the federal poverty line and what is considered poverty here in the United States. And let's not forget, most importantly, who is most likely affected by poverty, and it's disproportionately people of color who are affected by poverty. According to the 2018 United States Census data, quote, the highest poverty rate by race is found among Native Americans, which is 25.4%, African Americans, which are 20.8%, having the second highest poverty rate, and Hispanics of any race having the third highest poverty rate of 17.6%. While Asians and white Americans had 10.1%. We also learned that 11 million children in the United States of America are living in poverty. We then learned about food insecurity and how that directly relates to poverty. We learned that food insecurity, which is another issue that those in poverty face, is defined as the distribution of food intake or eating patterns because of lack of money and other resources. We learned that some simply do not have enough money to feed their family. And we also learned the effects that has on children's learning and children's growth. Poverty is defined as the state of being extremely poor. But in the United States of America, Poverty also defines your status in society. Your zip code is what affects your access to resources. Your zip code causes a butterfly effect. This has been The Butterfly Effect. Thank you for joining us today. You have been listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio 102.3 FM only at Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Monarch. This is The Butterfly Effect, from a spark to flame. Please join us for next week's episode of The Butterfly Effect.